Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we're going to take a look at the communities, the businesses, the attractions, and the people that make up Montcalm County. Here is your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Discover Montcalm podcast. My name's Dwayne, I'm your host and producer, and today I have a show for you. I was at a car show in Howard City, and I interviewed this gentleman. His name is Larry Snow. And I asked Larry what it was like growing up. And boy, did I get a history of Greenville. I got a history of the school system. I got a history on Frigidaire and Gibson and Electrolux and what the town was like back then and some of the twists and turns that we'll take. He even talks about Fred Meyer and growing up in the different Meyer stores, the different locations that they were in before they ended up on the north end of Greenville and then moved over to the south end of Greenville on M57. This is a roller coaster ride of history of Greenville and Montcalm County. Check out all of our podcasts on discovermontcalmpodcast.com, on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. If you've got an idea of a history or a neighbor that has some history or your family has some history, you've got businesses in this area, reach out to me. I would love to tell their story, your story. But right now, let's take a look at Larry Snow's history of Greenville and the surrounding area. Take it away, Larry.
My name is Larry Snow. I was born in 1938 in Greenville. I grew up in Greenville, been here most all my life. I graduated from the high school in Greenville. In fact, back in the old days, there was old little schools, Clay Street and Pearl Street and Cass Street schools. They've all been torn down since. I went to all of them. And I went to work for Buick Oldsmobile dealership in 1956 after graduation. And I was there for 6 years, enjoyed the Buicks and the Oldsmobiles, but most particularly, I fell in love with the Buicks. And I've owned probably 10 or 12 Buicks over the years. I left the Buick Olds garage and got into engineering in the local refrigerator factory in Greenville.
Now, was it Gibson's at that time?
It was Gibson's at that time. And I was there when they were bought out by Hupp Corporation. I was in the engineering department and went all through the engineering education program, special education program they had, got a degree in engineering, specialized in air conditioning, room air conditioners. We were later bought out by White Corporation. I was still with them. We were eventually bought out by Electrolux Corporation. I was still with them. I transferred and specialized in the air conditioner business with the company, and I was at Belding Products for 17 years until they closed the plant in 1988.
And it was Frigidaire at that time?
Well,
or was it Electrolux when it closed?
Electrolux, what happened in the history that Gibson's bought the Frigidaire name.
Okay.
They, from General Motors. They bought the Frigidaire nameplate and the Inland Ice Maker name. They actually bought the Inland Ice Maker division. It was a solid state ice maker in the refrigerators. One of my assignments were, because there was 125% failure rate on the Inland Ice Maker that we bought from General Motors, I was assigned to see if I could come up with a different ice maker. And between me and Howard Hopkins, we invented the Model C ice maker and obsoleted the Inland ice maker in 1971.
Wow. So you graduated from Greenville.
Now, yes.
Now, tell me a little bit of history of the schools in Greenville that you went to. I mean, was the Greenville High School where it is now when you were there? Or could you tell me a little of that history,
okay,
please?
Okay. I started out at the Pearl Street School, which was in the northeast quadrant of Greenville. All of us kids in the northeast quadrant and north went to Pearl Street. They were closing down Pearl Street School when we were in the third grade. We were transferred to the Clay Street School on the other side of the river. So my class spent the fourth grade in Clay Street. They closed that down because they were going to build Cedar Crest School. We were transferred over to the Armory, and the Armory at that time was next to the Flat River on East Washington. We spent the fifth grade there. We got kicked out of there, and we were transferred to the basement of the Union High School that used to be the old high school. Now it's the Flat River Library site. But we were in the sixth grade in the lunchroom. But then when we became a junior high, we incorporated ourselves into the Greenville High School program. And I graduated from the Union High School in 56.
Now where you call it Union High School, was that the same as Greenville High School?
That was it because it was on Union Street.
It was on Union Street, okay.
Yes.
And then later they moved it to where
they moved over to Hillcrest. And that was in sometime in the 60s they moved over to Hillcrest. And they used the high school, the old Union High School, for junior high.
Okay.
Until they built the middle school over north of where the current high school is off of Hillcrest. Now the middle school is over on Chase Road. And by the way, I can see both schools from my house. I'm right next to the truck route in a little subdivision in Greenville.
Okay. Tell me, what was it like growing up in the Greenville area back in the 30s and the 40s? Give me a little hint of what it was like growing up back then.
Well, I lived on what they call West Coffern, and all my buddies and all the kids I went to school with, we took advantage of the Flat River. And we would boat on the Flat River, and we would swim on the Flat River. We would go up the Flat River in our boats, and we would camp out on the various sandbars that was on the Flat River. Didn't have much of an athletic program back in the 40s when I was growing up, but they did have Black Athletic Field, and we were able to go up there and play softball sometimes. But at that time, we had neighborhood softball fields. We had a neighborhood softball field right behind my house on Coffern Avenue, and we would compete with the boys in another baseball team on Montcalm Street. It was half a dozen blocks away. And we later on, I actually coached what they called Little League and Pony League. And from there, I got interested in Boy Scouting, and a local dentist, Dr. Earl Faber, and I took over Troop 130 and ran it for 12 years out of the First Congregational Church. And we had 12 Eagles during that 12-year period that we brought up from Tenderfoot. Actually, they came out of Cub Scouting,
yep,
all the way through up in the Eagles, Eagle Scouts.
I was part of a Boy Scout troop here in Howard City, and I think we had three or four Eagles that came out of the,
yep,
program, and my son being one of them. So I got a good spot in my heart for the Boy,
yep,
Scouts.
You probably went over to Camp Ottawa, or was that closed down?
It was closed. I think we went to Gerber.
To Gerber.
Yeah, we went over.
We went to Ottawa until they closed it down.
Oh, and then we went up. No, we didn't. We went up by Kalkaska.
Oh.
That's where they went. Now you're making me remember, and it wasn't that long ago.
No, this is good.
Going back to growing up in the area, what was the town like in the 40s and the 50s compared to what the town is like today, in your opinion?
It was quite close-knit in Greenville. I don't want to get into my teenage years too quick, because we did a lot of drag racing up and down Main Street. But it was just a local town with a local police department, local fire department. We had two theaters. We had the Gibson, they called the Gibson Theater on Main Street. Around the corner, they had the Silver Theater. We'd go see cowboy movies, Lash LaRue and oh my goodness, all those guys that nobody would ever know their names anymore, including Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and Hopalong Cassidy, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. That was our Saturday thing at the Gibson Theater.
We'd like to thank our sponsors. West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions is your perfect choice for managed IT, website design, website hosting, and consulting services. WMTDS.com, 616-485-7600. Custom Vinyl Signs and Busy Bee Embroidery and Gifts is your one-stop shop for embroidery, vinyl, screen printing, and engraving needs. Go to cvsdbusybees.com. or call 989-261-7446. And DW Video, your film and videotape specialist. They design websites and business videos that tell and share your story. DWVideo.com, 231-250-9624. Now, back to our podcast.
During that time period, we had a delayed centennial in 1948. Because in 1944 the war was on, so they delayed it 4 years, and that was quite an activity in 1948. And of course, I was just a little shaver at the time.
But you remember it?
Oh, I remember all of that. I remember back during WW2, we had to have blackouts. We had to turn out the lights at 8 o'clock and roll down our shades and everything. And they had sirens to tell us to do that. We had the milkman in our neighborhood during the early 40s was horse-drawn. And another guy would come along for more pure ice in the early 40s with his horse-drawn wagon to sell ice. And we'd buy a chunk of ice and put it in our ice box in the 40s.
Well, speaking of that, you probably are very familiar with the Meyer story.
The Meyer story, that's a piece of history that is special. The first Meyer store was down on the corner of Congress and Lafayette, and Henry and Fred Meyer. Fred Meyer was Henry's son, and his actual name was Henrik. Henrik Meyer had the store there, and underneath it was the Ratskeller. It was a bar restaurant in the bottom of the first Meyer store. It burned down, okay? Now, my wife's grandfather owned the Ratskeller in the basement of Meyer's.
And what was his name?
Fred Collins. And it was called, I'm gonna go up 2 more years. After the first Meyer store burned down, Fred Collins bought the warehouse that was north of the first Meyer store and converted that to Fred's Tavern, okay? And Meyer's then went kitty-cornered southeast and built the Quonset Hut, second Meyer store, over on Lafayette Street, just southeast of where the first one was. And they were there until about 62 when that store burned down. And I remember it was around 62 or 63 or thereabouts, because we were just coming back from bow hunting up north. A friend of mine, Jimmy Jones, we graduated together, and we saw that the store had burned down while we were up deer hunting. That's when they moved north Greenville to Van Dyne's in that quadrant, and that was their third store. But Henrik Meyer, he put up this Meyer's Garden in Grand Rapids. Well, Fred did. Henry's kid, Fred, has Fred Meyer's Gardens. When he first set it up, because my wife's Mary's great-grandfather, David Marlin, was his blacksmith.
Okay.
He put a special display of David Marlin, the blacksmith, down in Fred Meyer's garden. And it was in part of in the Lena Meyer section. That was Fred's wife's name, Lena.
Yes.
And of course we knew Fred because there again, when Fred Collins started Fred's Tavern right after the first burn down of Meyer's, Henrik Meyer and Fred Meyer and all the local guys would come over to Fred's Tavern for lunch. From the Greenville Lumber Company, those guys would come over. From the Meyer store, the first guy down, Lloyd Whipple was the manager of that second Meyer store. And they'd all come and sit at the bar and have chili and burgers and
whatever the special of the day was. Well, that's really a cool, you know, history. And you stayed in the area after you retired.
Oh, well, there was a 10-year period that I had to move away because when they closed the Belding plant, they shut it down. They wanted us to relocate in Edison, New Jersey. That's where the air conditioner plant was relocated. Not one person left and went with them. So I went over here to Lear Siegler truck plant in Muskegon for 2 years. But while I was there, and even back when I was in Belding, we had the Fetters Corporation made Rotorex compressors, and they wanted us to put their Rotorex compressor in our Gibson air conditioner. Well, we did a pilot run, and they didn't turn out at all. They were really bad, and I had to kick them out of the plant. And when I say kick them out of the plant, over time, I became the manager of quality engineering for the whole company.
So quality first.
Quality engineering. And we had specifications. If you met the specifications, you could be a supplier for our components. If you didn't meet those specifications, you were out. I kicked them out. A guy named Ernie Gamache was the vice president of Fetters Corporation. And he says, Larry, he says, I wish I could do that at my company. I says, we've got a rule. We've got the specifications. If people meet the engineering specifications, you can buy product and have product parts, components in our product. He says, if you ever lose your job, call me. I said, well, I don't think I want to work for Fetters because you don't have a very good reputation. And now I know why, because we just had to take you off our approved list. Honest to gosh, Ernie Gamache called me at least once a month for the next 2 or 3 years. Called me, says, Larry, will you come to work for us? And I says, no, I'm happy where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm happy where I am. And then he found out that they closed the plant, and he called me again. And I says, well, Ernie, I'm over at Lear Siegler truck plant. Well, I was over there for 2 years, and he kept calling me. Honestly, I'm not kidding. He called me. And he started making me offers. And he kept raising the ante so much that I couldn't refuse to at least see what they had. So in 1990, I agreed to go down to Effingham, Illinois, and interview at their air conditioner plant. Went down there, and lo and behold, I met some of my schoolmates that were down there. I didn't even know they were there. Bill Swartz, he was vice president of sales, was down there. And we had quite a reunion at the time. And one of the fellows that was at Edison, New Jersey, in their manufacturing engineering department, he quit them and ended up in Effingham, Illinois. So I went down there, and companies and corporations, if you've ever been involved with them, they have dog and pony shows. Well, when I went down there, there was this plant, honest to gosh, it was a half a mile long at least, all on one floor. Everything was nice and clean and spiffy, and everything was moving nice and free and everything. And everybody had their shirts and ties on, and they just really give me a good show. Well, I agreed to go there. So I put in my notice, and I went down there 2 weeks later. And when I drove into the plant, I went into the manufacturing department, It was the biggest mess I ever saw in my life. There was air conditioners laying all over the floor. Honest to God, plugged into various outlets, all down the line. And I says, what's going on? And one of the guys from manufacturing engineering, he says, well, we're running Rotarex compressors and they don't want to start. And I says, oh, they haven't done any better than they did when they were in our place in 1986. Well, I almost threw up. Honest to God, I wasn't used to that sort of thing. But I made the switch, I'm down there. And by the way, one of the reasons they hired me down there, tried to get me down there, is because a fellow named Joe Helko, that was doing quality audit for me in Edison, New Jersey, stole my specifications, Q1000 specifications that we used both places. He lied to Ernie Gamache and said he was the manager of engineering in Edison, New Jersey, and he hired him, and they found out right away that he had lied, and that's when they started calling me. Well, I had fired him, and I went down there and I incorporated my Q1000 specifications. We turned things around, and I'm not kidding, in a year's time, Fetters Corporation went from the worst in manufacturing to the best. They, honest to God, did. But as Ernie Gamache told me many times when I hired him, he said, if you run this place like you ran Belding, we're gonna be doing okay.
So you were down there. What brought you back to the Montcalm area?
Early retirement. And a combination of things. We were a progressive company, Effingham, Illinois, Fetters Corporation. A fellow named Sal Giordano, he actually owned, his family owned Fetters Corporation. It was stock market, there was money, it was on a stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, but they held 90% of the stock. Sal Giordano, by the way, at one time bought Ranny Refrigerator Company in Greenville from Ranny's. And Gordon Stauffer ended up buying it from Sal Giordano later on. But Sal Giordano would come up every month in his private jet at Greenville Airport, and they would have their ops meeting at the new Fetters plant that was being, you know, was at Ranny's. Well, he got sick and tired of that, so he sold it to Gordon Stauffer. But Sal Giordano had a reputation of buying companies and shutting them down. He bought Norge in the 60s while I was at Belding, by the way. He bought Norge and shut them down in Muskegon. Took all the tooling and stuff and moved it to Indiana and then down to Effingham, Illinois.
In your opinion, why should someone discover Montcalm County?
We have a lot of history. We have a lot of old buildings. We have a lot of really nice churches. We have an excellent civic center that puts on plays and all kinds of stuff year round. We have the Danish Festival that people come from miles and miles around to the Danish Festival. We have the original Fred Meyer Trail that circles Greenville. The trail is over 8 miles long. It goes around a beautiful Baldwin Lake that's in our southwest corner. There's a paved road that encircles the entire Baldwin Lake. New high school, the fairly new high school, has been renovated. We have a soccer stadium there on the premises. We have Legacy Field. I'm trying to think of Legacy Field is now at Greenville. It's got AstroTurf on it, and it's such a nice field with accommodations that all of these district football programs are done on the Legacy Field. We've got 6 ball diamonds on the property, and all the city leagues and plus the school teams and everything utilize those 6 baseball fields. We have 2 practice soccer fields next to our regulation soccer stadium.
So a lot has changed, and sounds like in most cases it's for the better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot more to offer. Larry, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Connect and subscribe to Discover Mount Calm Podcast at discovermountcalmpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Discover Mount Calm Podcast. To be featured in an upcoming show, contact Duane at 231-250-9624. Remember to subscribe at discovermountcalmpodcast.com.